531. Keith Sanger is a proud Pacific Islander who understands sports as an expression of our God-given abilities as individuals to have meaning and fulfill our creative mandates. He works with esportif.com with a particular focus on Fiji and the Pacific. esportif.com is a global organization in the client management space in rugby union and rugby league. Keith's role is talent ID and special projects, where he focuses on building the firm's capacity in the Pacific region while also tailoring our services towards the Pacific psyche. Keith is on the line with us. Bulawinaka, Keith, and thank you so much for taking the time out to have a chat with us.
No worries. Bulawinaka Malale. Happy to be here.
Oh my goodness, how does somebody, could you give us a little bit about your own background, Keith? Did you grow up as a sports person and then moved into the management space, or?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think for me, my journey into this space was non-traditional. I went to Vicky Uni. I sort of finished school at Newlands College then, and school at Newlands College then in Wellington. Went to Vic Uni, did a HR degree in commerce. And then from there, I spent 9 years in banking, in fact. From that experience, it really taught me it was a good breeding ground for a good commercial understanding of how contracts work. And then I've always been passionate about sport. I played just a bit in high school, nothing serious. But I've always sort of kept tabs on, as a fan, I guess, the NRL and rugby union at super level.
Yes, and then what made you decide to esportif.com? Could you give us a little bit of information about the organization itself, please, Keith?
Yeah, sure. So Esportif, founded 20 years ago, 20 plus years ago, by two blokes called Craig Innes and Bruce Sharrock. So we're a leading global rugby management firm. Again, over 20 years of industry experience, accredited agents across all the major playing markets in union and in league, offices again across the globe. And we operate across all the levels of rugby and rugby league. So for us, really, our mandate is to, one, obviously ID and nurture some elite talent, but also try to find ways to help the athlete off the field is really critical for our role.
Did you say Craig Innes? Is that Craig Innes, the former All Black, one of the two founders?
Yes, correct. That's it.
Ah, and now who are some of the big names on your book? Now, when I went onto your website, I saw Richie Mo'unga in there. Is that the caliber of players you've got on your books?
Yeah, so Esportif, we do have an impressive, clientele list spanning across both codes. So, yeah, as you highlighted, Rich Mo'unga, Charles Pietau, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, if we think about league, Suliasi Vunivalu, Daniela Tupou, the recently retired Jerome Kano. From a New Zealand perspective, in terms of the talent level, we are very fortunate to have some of the best Pacific Islanders doing it really well at a high level.
Well, you must be doing a very good job, because Charles Pietau is the highest played rugby player ever, or at the moment, as I understand. Mm. So tell me, how do you identify talent? Do you go as far as having contacts on the grounds in Tonga and in Samoa and in Fiji to keep an eye on those boys in the village and in the colleges? Or how does that work?
Yeah, good question. So when I first started 5 years ago, I started my own business with a business partner. And sort of that transition into entrepreneurship, I guess one thing that you learn very quickly is it's hard, right? And so you've got to be, prone to dealing with failure. But sort of in that journey, we did do some good things. And what we've realized is the Pacific is brimming with talent. And so my particular role within Esportif as you highlighted, is special projects in the Pacific. So from a Talon ID perspective, if I use Fiji as an example, it's really critical to have good people on the ground that understand what we're looking for, not only just physically from a profile perspective, but also character is probably more important than talent. And so being able to understand who the kid is and how they deal with, I guess, adversity is critical to understand. So on the ground, there's some really good relationships with teachers. I think teachers are probably the most critical part of our ID process, where they know the kid from a mental standpoint as well as obviously a rugby standpoint. So if a teacher that we trust and that has a good eye for talent sees a kid or is aware of a kid, they'll let us know sort of, hey, there's a student athlete here. And then from there, we sort of have our internal processes or what we call due diligence to ensure that student athlete matches what we're looking for. But also that is also good on the other side. It's not enough just to find talent. It's also understanding that we can hopefully one day get them a job. And by that, I mean a contract on the other side. So the analogy that we use at Esportif is that if the market is after blue pens, there's no point in us getting, you know, red or black pens, right? For Pacific Islanders, there's a very specific profile that, you know, World Rugby and a rugby league look for in terms of physical profile. So it's really important, I guess, to manage expectations as well. I know there's a lot of misinformation in the industry and a lot of dreams that are being sold. And it's, I'm not saying it's, you know, you've got a dream. I think it's important that we also aspire to do great things as Pacific Islanders, but also it's understanding that, you know, it's a push and pull market. So, I can go into that. I could talk for hours about that, but really that's sort of how it looks for me in the Pacific Island. So once I'm sort of given an indication of a really great student athlete, hopefully I'll have two or three or four on my list. And I'll usually fly into Fiji just to watch or do the eye test, as it's called. And then it sort of continues on from there.
Is Fiji one of your bigger markets, or is it Samoa and Tonga as well?
Yeah, good question. So in the Pacific Islands, rugby league and rugby union, I guess Fiji is the flavor of the month. And I say that in respect to, you know, my Samoan and my Tongan people. When we think of the Pacific Island athlete, and again, it really depends on the market. So what the demand is in Australia is very different from what the demand is in, say, England or France. You know, so there are certain requirements to gain entry into, say, top flight rugby union in those different markets. But generally what you find in common is that at the moment in World Rugby and Rugby League, they're looking for elite finishers in the back line. And so generally Fijians fit that profile. You know, it's funny you mentioned that, but you know, it wasn't too long ago that Samoa and Tonga did produce some of the best athletes in World Rugby, but it sort of steered away from sort of just the brute power of the game. And so athleticism is a huge sort of push in the conversations that we have with some of the clubs. Having said that, say Tonga and Samoan athletes, they're still a premium for the top end. And then obviously you have the middle, and then you have, say, club rugby. But what we're seeing across the globe now is that, you know, you can play rugby union and make a living at all levels. If you look at, pre-COVID, I guess, the U.S. market starting their own league, South America now has their own league, Spain, Romania. So you would know people personally or in your own ecosystem, Ete, of people who play across the globe. And then probably the biggest one at the moment is Japan. So in terms of Japan, they love the Pacific heritage players, particularly just because of there's some commonality in culture between Japan and, say, Pacific Islands. So again, it all depends. There are some other mitigating factors. But now I would say, yeah, it is fair to say that Fiji, the ideal, I think, athlete is a Fijian athlete at the moment.
Yes, you've just got to look at all of our top teams, both in rugby and in rugby league. If you look at it in terms of wingers, most of those names our commentators struggle to pronounce. It would also be fair to say that Fijians are probably more agreeable than Samoans and Tongans.
So, I mean, that's an interesting one, and one I probably didn't put too much thought into, but yeah, culturally, I think you can, you could say that, you know, Fijians are wired more that way, whereas with our Samoan and Tongan people, you know, extremely proud, and have a voice. Right. I guess without generalizing too much, I would agree at some level.
Yeah, it is becoming. How has COVID-19 affected the work? Obviously, in a huge way, the work that you do as well as the sport.
Yeah, good question. It is. So, as I'm sure it's affected everyone at some level. Across all sectors, and not just with professional sport. I think with professional sport, it's quite obvious because the game relies so much on fans in terms of revenue. So if you think about, if I use Australia as an example, or in general, I think the game fans contribute about 40 or close to 50% of the revenue. Just through attendance and merchandise or fan engagement. So if you pull that out of the bottom, really, where are you finding the money to pay the players? So how that's, you know, impacted some of the recruitment decisions for next year, just because of the uncertainty. And so a lot of the teams, what you'll find in overseas markets, where they normally would look overseas to fill some of the gaps that they have in, you know, specific positions that Pacific Islanders are, you know, well renowned for in terms of performance. They'll look locally now. And so I guess for someone coming through, say, the school system in Wellington, I think teams, particularly let's say the NRL, so a lot of NRL teams come to New Zealand to scout. Because of the lost revenue streams and the impact of COVID, I think what we're seeing from an SPORT perspective is that junior recruitment will be affected for the next 12 months. So usually where, you know, a well-resourced club might not be afraid to bring a kid from Wellington into, say, Melbourne or Sydney. Normally, now we're finding that they've put a hold on bringing kids in from New Zealand and more looking locally. And in some cases, just not recruiting any juniors at all. So how that affects our Pacific Islanders, there's obviously a massive effect in terms of opportunities overseas. And so I would encourage young Pacific Islanders to probably not lose heart. I think it's really critical to still focus on what's important, and you know, to me, probably the more important thing is focusing on a vocation or education, right? Because at some level, you're gonna have to stop playing, and you don't get to play forever. So, if anything, COVID does highlight the need to explore, you know, other talents or gifts or other passions that, you know, our people would want to pursue in place of sport.
And in terms of the feedback from the players that are on your books or players that you deal with, how are they coping with it mentally and financially? It can't be easy with, as you say, now most of the revenue drying up, no audiences, no spectators, and of course no income from viewings.
No, thanks. I think, you know, with players that I personally manage, and, you know, having your salary halved, essentially, going from, you know, what would be, you know, a healthy, if I just pick out a figure, so getting $16,000 a month down to, you know, $5,000 or $4,000, you know, that places a huge burden, not only mentally, but, you know, these clients, they have mortgages, and so they live a certain lifestyle according to what comes in the door financially. And then, you know, specific people, you know, we have a massive sort of a communal understanding of how we view life. And so it's not just our families that we support, it's our extended communities. And oftentimes, I guess, mentally, if we think about the mental well-being aspect, not being able to do that, although it's not our fault immediately, you know, that can take a toll on an athlete. So I do have a client at the moment who, you know, I'm sort of just working through that whole process with. And really, it's based around, you know, just this idea of Kalanoa and ensuring that we educate our families as well. I think being from a village setting, say in Samoa, Tonga, or Fiji, where the impact isn't as great because life is really simple and you sort of just live off the land. You know, when the money's dried up and not coming in from, you know, a son or a nephew, what's really critical is, you know, educating the family as to why, you know, that's happened, and probably hopefully giving some more clarity around, you know, it's not just a couple of months. This could be, you know, out to the next year, or even have some residual effect in 2022. So it's what the world we live in. I think as well, it's also an opportunity to take stock. And like I said, it's really critical for our people to look at other industries and not just put all of our eggs in one basket. Although it's very, I think being in professional sport, it is very, it's a great opportunity to express, like I said, some of our gifts, and you can gain a lot from it financially and in terms of material wealth. But again, at the end of the day, sport isn't played forever. And so I really encourage our Pacific people to look at other avenues to express their gifts. For me, that was education. And I've been able to, you know, propel that into what I'm doing today and some other projects. But otherwise, you're right. The impact is massive and something that we couldn't quantify. And we still don't have clarity on how the future looks. But it's month to month, day to day, week to week, really.
Keith Sanga, thank you so much for your time and your words of wisdom around our young people needing to have a more holistic approach to life in terms of not just sports, but also in terms of their professional careers. Appreciate your time. Look forward to having a chat with you maybe in a couple of months to get an update on how things are going with regards to the welfare of our professional sports people.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, look forward to another update in a few months.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. That is Keith Sanga talking to us about the work that he does with esportive.com.